Yaja grabbed the latch, yanked the door open, and gave the screen a kick. Shotgun in hand, holding her left arm protectively before her eyes, Anya jumped through the front window. She had no time to think about the tiny shards stinging her exposed skin. A man with a Mini-14 carbine stood with his back toward her. Another man had an assault rifle pointed into the open front door. Yaja, fortunately, had jumped aside after kicking it open. The man gaped at Anya and swung the rifle at her. She lunged and thrust. The sword punched through his sternum, heart, and lungs. His empty eyes bulged. Yaja stumbled out the door carrying the scrolls.
Let's go!
Tex! They killed him!
They'll kill us, too, if we don't move now!
Putting the sword away, Anya seized Yaja's arm and led her half-stumbling toward the airboat. Both women scrambled in, and Anya climbed into the pilot's chair.
Do you know how to drive this thing?
Not yet. Hold this.
Anya handed the shotgun to the girl, hoping she'd have the sense not to shoot either of them or the engine by accident. A red button by the high driver's seat started the engine when Anya stabbed it with her thumb. Evidently, Joey had felt confident about leaving it unlocked in front of his uncle's grand hunting lodge. She guessed the tiller worked in a fairly intuitive way, push it left to go right, and vice versa. She could be sure there was no reverse, lest the huge fan blow the driver and passengers right out of the shallow skiff hull. She pushed the stick forward. Anya powered the tiller around in a semicircle, and the boat began moving readily enough, with the long, moist grass working as a sort of lubrication. Luckily, nothing ripped the bottom out of the airboat as it slewed about. In charge of the craft, Anya became suddenly aware of the chopping power of the blade spinning a few feet behind her. It slid forward, reaching the water. Anya's heart almost stopped as the bow pushed down into it as if it were about to break the surface and head straight down to the bottom. Instead, it bounced back and obediently lit out across the water. She steered it back the way they had come. Anya didn't see any point in trying to lead the inevitable pursuit on a wild goose chase. She was willing to gamble Sulin would not yet have bothered sending men to secure Joey's Grand Cherokee. They had other priorities and must have assumed that success was guaranteed.
Why are we going this way?
Because we know there's a ride at the end of it.
You think they'll chase us?
I'd be amazed if they didn't.
Here they come!
Yaja pointed past the starboard edge of the fan cage, and the airboat swerved slightly as Anya turned her head. A big boat had come powering around a bend in the bayou beyond the lodge. A man in the powerboat's prow shouldered an M16. She didn't see where the bullets went, let alone hear them pass above her engine's howl. Two other men hung on the rail behind him, holding long guns, but Sulin wasn't there. Anya guessed he was somewhere tending to his busted ribs. Another burst ripped a line of miniature waterspouts past them on the right. Anya veered the boat starboard through the falling spray of the last one. A plan formed in her mind. As she suspected, the next burst tore the water more or less along the line she had followed a moment before, causing her gut to tighten. The mass of the automobile-style engine would easily protect them from bullets, and the engine itself could likely suck in a lot of them before it stopped running. But she feared a direct hit on one of the propeller blades would leave them literally dead in the water. She began to weave the little craft back and forth across the bayou, which ran relatively broad, banking on their only advantage, maneuverability. Unfortunately, with the rapidly approaching drowned forest coming up, even that would be restricted. Jarring in shock, Anya saw Yaja fly back into her seat from a standing position. She had presence of mind, or luck, enough to shoot on a turn, so that the shot charge cleared Anya and the wide sweep of the prop. What she hadn't anticipated was the recoil. The single blast had torn the gun from Yaja's hands and knocked her back on her rump. The shotgun had vanished into the water. Anya hoped Yaja hadn't hurt herself too badly. Luckily, the shotgun hadn't formed any part of Anya's plan anyway. The powerboat drew closer. She threw the airboat broadside across its path. She suddenly chopped the throttle and cut the engine. Anya ignored Yaja's panic as the airboat wallowed and stopped. It rode up on the great swell, pushed before the onrushing powerboat's bow, and Anya spotted the men on deck, taken as fully by surprise as she had hoped, jostling to try to get to the port rail to shoot as the boat's driver swerved. As he did, Anya sprang, flying across the water and catching the boat's chromed rail with her left hand. The impact almost wrenched her shoulder from its socket, and she twisted. Her hip slammed against the slick white hull, and the sun-heated metal rail seared her palm. Above her, a face stared over the rail. It wore an almost comic mask of surprise. The man was holding a Car 4 automatic carbine. Anya summoned the sword and thrust it up. It passed directly through his open mouth. She felt a moment of squishy resistance before drawing back, causing him to collapse heavily to the deck. She managed to swing the soles of her shoes against the hull using her legs as well as her grip on the rail. Anya vaulted onto the pink-stained deck.
Yeah.
The other man, who had stood behind the bow gunner, swung his full-size M16 in a clumsy attempt to club her. She easily fended off the lightweight weapon with her left hand. She slashed him diagonally across the chest, then delivered a return backhand cut across his belly. As he fell, the man in the bow aimed his long black rifle at Anya from his shoulder. She raced toward him, sword raised, and veered right, hacking across her body. The blade sliced through the M16's receiver just as the man pulled the trigger. The partly ignited cartridge sent a vent of furnace-hot gases into the man's face. She brought a short chopping stroke down on the left side of his forehead, sending him toppling backward. She wrenched the sword free, and he flopped backward over the rail like a fish released to the waters of the bayou. Just then, a crawling sensation shot between Anya's shoulder blades. She expected to hear the shattering crack of a shot before a bullet lanced her back. Wheeling around, sword at the ready and gleaming like a ray of light in the brilliant sun, she found the pilot with his hands up and his eyes filled with horror. Sword in hand, she stalked toward him. He turned as if to flee straight astern, but faced nothing but the aft rail and black water. She darted forward, grabbed him by the back of his green polyester shirt, and spun him to face her. His speechless mouth gaped open.
Listen, you're dealing with things you can't handle here. You realize that, don't you? Fine. I don't need you to say a single word until you repeat my exact words to your bosses. And tell Sulin the next time I see him, he's a dead man. Got that?
He nodded, his eyes telling Anya everything she needed to know. She dragged him to the stern and pitched him over the side into the bayou. Anya sat down at the wheel, blinked hard at the brilliant light reflecting off the bayou, and headed back to pick up Yaja and the scrolls. When they'd finally returned to Joey's Jeep, Anya discovered that the lock on the driver's side door was broken. That he hadn't gotten it fixed or warned them, while they all solemnly locked their doors as if it mattered, seemed to speak volumes about him. Verl did not emerge from his shack at the sound of the airboat's return, and Anya hoped it didn't mean that Europetro goons had paid him a call. She suspected they had not. It seemed that Sulin had put everything into the trap at Hoag's Lodge. It was deep into a soft gray dusk by the time Anya found a backwater motel. The clerk was a middle-aged woman who was far more interested in her television than the two college students from Biloxi coming to stay, but she did show a grateful smile at being paid cash. She didn't even bother asking for a license plate number. Anya had requested a room around the back where any EP searchers driving by wouldn't instantly spot the Jeep. She parked under a big black oak tree, making it more difficult to spot the vehicle from an airplane or helicopter. The still weeping Yaja had carried her own bag inside, too distraught to even complain. Anya carried the scrolls and the rest of the gear. A pair of full-auto 223s and six full 30-round magazines would go a long way toward alleviating any fear of strangers in the night. At first, Anya had suspected Yaja of being overly theatrical, but when she closed the door with a bump of her butt and let the last bags thump to the thin, vomit-colored carpet, the wave of sadness, loss, and fear rolled over her like a tsunami. She and Yaja ended up sitting on the bed together, crying into each other's shoulders. Sometime well after dark, they cried themselves out. Then Anya took herself mentally by the scruff and shook herself back to reality. No matter how she thought things through, she could find reasons to blame herself for Tex's death. But he had made his own choices at every stage, and no one had held a gun against his head before he joined her quixotic quest. He had walked with open eyes into a trap laid by someone he had mistakenly trusted. In the end, it didn't matter. What did matter was Tex was dead, and Anya and Yaja were going to have to work fast and smart to avoid the same fate. Anya ordered a delivery pizza, hoping that getting some food in Yaja's stomach would help her gain some composure. They sat together, eating it on the bed.
So, we need to figure out how we're going to survive past tonight.
And avenge Tex.
I still think it's our best chance to do what we've been trying to do all along. Recover as much of the contents of these scrolls as we can and publicize them. The question is, how? And where?
We originally sent them to Jet Propulsion Labs in Pasadena. They have CT scanner and an MSI machine.
So it's a logical choice.
Too logical.
Meaning what?
I bet that's where Gus Marshall is right now. Waiting for us in case we decide to head straight there instead of to meet Mr. Hogue. He's probably hired half the private investigators in L.A. to keep eye out for us. Maybe even the police, too.
You're right. E.P. might be just as reluctant to involve the law as we are, but I agree, we can't take the risk.
The new university in Shenzhen has CT scanners and multispectral imagers.
China?
Just inland from Hong Kong, I think. It is sort of boomtown. There wasn't much there but farming villages 20 years ago. Now it's a big city with a lot of high-tech manufacturing. They wanted us to send some of our scrolls to them for processing. But there was some kind of trouble, tension with the U.S. government, some kind of stupid politics.
So with the Chinese-U.S. rivalry over oil, we could assume the Chinese would be pretty unlikely to be in bed with Europetro, right?
Sometimes you are not so stupid after all, Anya.
Thanks.
That raises a problem. It takes forever to get visas for the People's Republic.
Not necessarily. My network has a good working relationship with the Chinese national government, not to mention Guangdong provinces. Even the Communist Party bosses, too, are willing to do business. And by doing business, I mean exchanging massive bribes.
Ah, the universal language.
Rogue Angel is continued on the next CD.